Esmeralda Santiago will be reading and signing books tonight at 7:30 at the Upper East Side Barnes & Noble store. That's at 86th Street at Lexington Avenue. Up next, our word maven, Patricia T. O'Connor, takes your calls on the complexities of the English language. And if you have a question, call us at 646-829-3985 or leave a comment on our show page at WNYC.org. This is WNYC and WNYC.org.
WNYC support comes from the Children's Hospital at Montefiore, working to conduct innovative research and clinical trials in order to develop up-to-date techniques and treatments with the goal of providing children the care they need in a family-centered environment. The Children's Hospital at Montefiore. Bard Summerscape, presenting the New York stage premiere of Richard Strauss's opera Die Liebe der Danae on the main stage of Bard's Fischer Center, opens July 29th, 845-758-7900 or fischercenter.bard.edu. WNYC is a media sponsor of the 37th anniversary of Harlem Week, a month of events celebrating the culture and history of Harlem. Information and a schedule available at harlemdiscover.com.
California Governor Jerry Brown made history and sparked controversy last week when he signed a law requiring public schools to include the accomplishments of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people in their history lessons. We'll talk with a professor of gender studies about what might be in such a lesson plan. That's next time on Tell Me More. Weekdays at 2 p.m. on AM 820 WNYC.
Patricia T. O'Connor is here, and when she visits us, we talk about the language and all of its complications, quirks, and vicissitudes. And we invite your calls at 646-829-3985, or you can leave a comment on our show page at WNYC.org. And Patricia, as you probably know, is the author of numerous books.
Mm-hmm.
Woe Is I, Junior for Kids, You Send Me, Words Fail Me, Origin of the Species.
Right.
Have I left anything out?
No.
But there have been updated.
Yes.
You want to look for the latest version of these
right,
books.
Right.
And you also should keep in mind that she has become one of the more popular answers to puzzles. The New York crossword puzzle.
Yeah,
you had a Woe Is I. If you see anything that says language book title or something like that, invariably it's Woe Is I.
Yeah, it's because there aren't a lot of clues for which the answer is ISI. Mm-hmm. And I suppose that's a nice, tidy little three-letter thing to put in a lot of crosswords, ISI.
Well, it could be Pakistani source of problems in Afghanistan.
Yeah, could be. But anyway, I little realized that. But it crops up in crosswords.
And you've been coming on the show ever since the book was published. That's a
yes.
while now. So you're kind of
yes, it's been 15 years.
That
since
makes
the
you
book
a
was...
bit of a radio pro, doesn't it?
I guess.
So you want to talk about the way people speak on the radio today?
I would like to do that because this came up recently in relation to a question on the. On our blog, it's the word news, N-E-W-S.
News.
You say news,
always
right?
Have.
I say news. Okay, granted, we won't argue about it. But I would like to tell you that Americans overwhelmingly pronounce it as I just did, news. And until fairly recently, that's the one and only pronunciation that appeared in American dictionaries. Now, today, dictionaries give this second pronunciation, news, with a Y sound in it that linguists call this a palatal glide. But I'll just call it a Y sound. But at one time, the only Americans who said news lived in parts of the South or parts of rural New England. And linguists were writing articles 30 years ago observing that this pronunciation was dying out in the South, that it was becoming less common and the glide was fading away. But something happened to revive it. And I would think that you as a radio person would be able to guess what that something was.
Radio. No?
Radio, yeah. So what happened was as the Southerners were dropping this from their pronunciation, broadcasters on the national level were picking it up.
Now, I have to confess, I didn't always say news. I went to school in London when I was 20 years old,
right.
And I said, so what's the news? And people looked at me like I was
news.
Very
yes,
strange.
It's a British, the so, British say
and,
news.
And since it is their language, I thought it was perfectly fine to say news.
Now, what do you mean it is their language? Please.
English. And all of those other words, Jew, D-E-W, Jew, seem to make sense to me.
Well,
there's a difference between Jew and D-O, do. And news, you know, it sounds very much like something you stick around a person's neck rather than something.
Let me say
this. Unless we're talking about Rupert Murdoch and then the whole thing comes together.
Let me say this. There are a lot of words spelled with the with U or E-W right after a consonant for which the vowel sound is not oo, but you.
Yeah, Hughes, H-E-W.
Hugh. And some of many of those
he
words
cried.
We say here, we also say them as you, as in the word hue, to hew a something out of the rock, for instance. Mm-hmm. But
We say so, S-E-W.
Yes. So there's a it's not a blanket thing. It varies from word to word. But in general, British pronunciation is to say you, and American pronunciation is to say ooh.
Few.
Well, again, it's not a blanket thing. But as it happens, news, the word news, is part of a small class of words in which many broadcasters over the last 30 years or so have begun to insert an audible Y sound, the palatal glide. Other examples include tune. I'm saying it with the glide. Tune, Duke, tuna, a tuna sandwich, Tuesday, stew, a beef stew. Enthusiasm.
You make it sound ugly.
Well,
I think
no,
it sounds
I'm just
pretty.
Trying. Okay. Stupid. Student. Etc.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the question is, why did broadcasters start doing this? And it was probably not because they associated this with the South.
No.
Although Dan Rather always said news because he was born in Texas. But at any rate, other broadcasters, those from the North, even Peter Jennings from Canada, all seem to adopt this. Consumer. They would say super for super. Superman. Revolution. Putting a Y in the word revolution. I know, you're laughing. But it's true. The speculation is that they were either influenced.
I feel condemned.
You're not condemned. The speculation is that they were either influenced by British speech or by elocution teachers who somehow identified this mannerism as elegant speech and were teaching it to Americans. At any rate, the pronunciations, for whatever reason, had snob appeal. So we started hearing things like, you know, capsule, prelude instead of prelude. Prelude. Even the stringed instrument, the lute, it's hard, even hard to say.
Not if you say it all the time.
I suppose so, but some
no
broadcasters.
No harder than saying pew.
Poo, oh poo. Some
go to
broadcasters.
The church and sit in the poo.
No, some broadcasters carry this glide to ridiculous lengths, as when someone comes on the midday to announce the noon news.
No, no, nude is of course it's a mispronunciation.
Okay, but at any rate, I think possibly elocution teachers may have encouraged this trend. I did find a book that was devoted to elocution for singers. It's by a very famous woman who has now died, but her name was Madeleine Marshall, and she taught at elocution to singers at Juilliard for over 50 years. And she wrote a book that's still considered the standard on the subject. And she writes that after D, N, L, S, S, T, T, and T, H, any U or EW is pronounced as U rather than OO.
Tuesday.
Yes. Yes.
Which is what I say.
Yes. Yes. And she says in her book that she's not recommending this for speech, but for diction for singers. Because for one thing, if choral singers don't all pronounce a word in the same way, it has a mushy sound to the audience. They all need to have the same pronunciation. So this was a way of standardizing that.
But I want to know where this is going. For example, when I took this job, the program director at the time gave me an announcer's test.
Right.
First word was E-X-Q-U-I-S-I-T-E. I said, exquisite.
Uh-huh.
He said, okay, you passed. Because everybody says exquisite, except the dictionary does say exquisite. And
it has both.
Yeah, as exquisite is the first choice. But that doesn't matter anymore. Is that true?
Yeah.
Which one is given first doesn't matter as much as it did in the past?
With a word like exquisite, it may. It depends on the dictionary maker. But if they don't have anything in between like or also, they probably mean that they're about equal in acceptability. Unless with spellings, for example, if variant spellings are given and they're out of alphabetical order,
then
the that's
first
a
one
sign
is
that, yeah, right.
My guest is Patricia T. O'Connor, and we have been inviting your comments on our show page at WNYC.org. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. And we also invite your calls at 646-829-3985. People have been writing in as a result of our conversation. Stephen in Bridgewater, New Jersey, writes, what is the – am I allowed to say what?
No,
what instead of what? What is the proper pronunciation of Rupert Murdoch's company's name? I've mostly heard News Corp with the P pronounced, but – some have also made the P silent, as in Core, News Core.
News Core? Well, it's spelled with a P.
It has to be
isn't
P.
It?
It's corporate.
I would think so.
Yeah. It's a corporation, not a corporation. Laura in the Upper West Side writes, I've heard Patricia T. O'Connor talk about how language changes and evolves. Can she give us some advice? Therefore, on how to deal with and how to soothe the nerves of those sticklers who have it, who have fits over what sounds wrong to them.
Tell them to buy a recent dictionary. A lot of times they like authority. You can't just say, oh, no, that's not. You have to be able to show them something in writing. So tell them to get a new dictionary. A lot of times, if they have a 50-year-old dictionary, it won't say what today's dictionaries do. For example, my 1956 copy of the huge Webster's Second International has only one pronunciation for the word news, and it is news. There, I can tell you're unhappy, Leonard. You have an unhappy look on your face.
It's a bad dictionary. We have a call from, Ted? Ted from Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Hi.
Ah.
That's correct.
Do you say news or news?
Well, I was tempted to greet you by saying good afternoon.
No, but that's silly. Okay, yes, Ted. What do you want to talk about?
I have a question for each of you, actually. Mm-hmm. Regarding a usage problem, not problem, but a choice that each of you seem to make, which seems a little bit unusual. And Ms. O'Connor, yours refers to the what's called the periphrastic do. Linguists are called not to be confused with the periphrastic do. And that is when Leonard will ask you after your typical banter in the beginning of the show, he'll ask you, shall we take some calls? And you'll say, yes, let's do.
Mm-hmm, right.
Which is a usage I hear all the time
right.
from British speakers. I have never, ever heard that from an American English speaker, and I'm curious.
Oh, I think you're mixing up. There are two kinds of periphrastic do. Mm-hmm. I'll try to explain them briefly. One is very common in the U.S., and that's where I will say, would you like a drink? And someone would say, yes, I do. Or, do you like this? Yes, I do. Leaving out the word like. In other words, using do as an auxiliary noun, a verb,
right,
by itself. Yes, I do, rather than yes, I do what. The kind that you hear in Britain is where someone will say, have you ever danced? And someone will say, yes, I have done. They'll use done,
right,
in as a periphrastic past tense of do, which you never hear in the U.S. Or, has he bought you an engagement ring yet? Yes, he has done. That's probably the one you're talking about. That's the periphrastic one you're talking about.
But my observation in terms of usage has been that Americans, when asked, you know, shall we take some calls, they might say, yes, let's, mm-hmm, or they would say,
sure,
let's do that. But they would not say, let's do, whereas a British speaker or an Australian or New Zealander would typically say that.
Huh.
Okay, and what is, and how are you going to bop me on the head?
Hasn't exactly been my, yeah, Leonard's waiting to be punished.
Well, so. You are the language expert, Ms. O'Connor, so I will defer to you.
Okay, and you don't sound like you come from Tuscaloosa.
I don't, actually. I come from Philadelphia, so.
Okay.
How do you pronounce the word H-E-I-G-H-T?
H-E-I, height.
Ah, well, you're not really from Philadelphia.
You expect me to say height?
Yes.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, my question for you, Leonard, is you have an unusual pronunciation for the America's premier theater district, mm-hmm, which you about 80% of the time will pronounce as Broadway, with the emphasis on the second syllable as opposed to Broadway, which is the way I'm accustomed to hearing it, as if you're trying to make sure people don't confuse it with Broad Street or Broad Boulevard or something else. I was curious how you acquired that pronunciation.
I grew up in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, living on a street of that name. And I guess it's a carryover from when we called it Broadway. We didn't say Broadway, Brooklyn. And there are certain things that stay with you no matter what, and that's one of them.
All right.
For years I said neighborhood, too, because that's what we said in the neighborhood. Okay?
But there's that song, Lullaby of Old Broadway.
Yeah, but but it is Broadway, and mm-hmm, that's the correct pronunciation, and he's absolutely right, and please forgive me.
It's all right, Leonard.
Josephine from Manhattan, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Well, this is driving me crazy.
Oh, don't let it drive you crazy.
Yes, well, it was bad enough when people would say he took my sister and I to dinner. But now they're saying her and my father are not speaking.
Mm.
So they won't use the objective when they should, and now they won't use the subjective when they should.
Mm.
What has caused her instead of she? I don't think they do it with him and he. It's always her and she.
No, it works the other way, too. I used to tell the story about I spoke to a school district, all the faculty in a school district in suburban New Jersey, and one of the high school principals approached me with one of his colleagues to say, him and me will have to leave early. He was apologizing because he couldn't stay for the whole thing. Him and me have to leave early.
He should have stayed longer
after
school.
Well, one of the teachers, English teachers, told me he came up through the coaching staff to become principal. So that may have something to do with it. No slur on athletes, but English wasn't his major. But I can't explain it.
There are people on TV who should know better doing this.
Right. They would if the pronoun were standing alone, they wouldn't make that problem. They wouldn't say her is going to dinner. It's just when it's her and somebody else, or she and somebody else. If you mentally eliminate the other guy, you'll never make that mistake.
Thank you for calling us.
You're welcome. I love your show.
And we love you, too. And we're going to go to a little break right now and come back with more Patricia T. O'Connor and your calls to 646-829-3985. Leave a comment on our show page at WNYC.org. And it's easy to find the show page. Just go to the WNYC website. Look at the bottom. There's a whole bunch of shows listed. Click on the Leonard Lopate Show and then follow the instructions.
Sincerely, no other words can tell it half so clearly. Three little words, eight little letters that simply mean I love you.
We're back with Patricia T. O'Connor and your calls to 646-829-3985, or you can leave a comment on our show page at WNYC.org. And Peter asks on our show page, how did root become route in recent pronunciation? After all, it wasn't Route 66 all that many years ago. I've wondered that as well.
I don't know. I have gotten questions over the years about which is correct, and of course now they're both correct. That happens with a lot of pronunciations. The new pronunciations are introduced and they become acceptable. Our big American heritage here says root first, then route. That doesn't necessarily mean that they like root better. But,
well, it all depends on what you're talking about. You'd use a router.
But
I'm just talking about roads. I think I always have said Route 12, Route 9W.
Yeah, I always have too. And I grew up in the Midwest. But I have heard many people say route. You never hear it out east. You never hear someone say Route 67 or Route 43. You always hear route.
Yeah. So,
I can't answer the question. Sorry, I don't know how it happened.
But it has been happening. I've been hearing it more and more on the radio.
Oh.
I think there's a conspiracy of radio announcers. What do you think? and
I'll never hear the end of this.
And Pat O'Connor has uncovered it. And it's going to be on the front page of tomorrow's Times. Okay. Barbara from New York. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I'm wondering if you could explain why this, especially on TV, I haven't heard it on radio, I hope I won't, this widespread use of SH for S.
Oh.
Horrible. People are saying street instead of street.
Right.
And it's going from, it's like a contagion from station to station.
And you want them to stop it already.
Yes, I do,
stop.
And I want to know what it is. You know, is it just lazy speech or?
There's actually a word for it in linguistics, which I can't remember at the moment. But it's very well known, and there are a lot of people who do it. I wrote about it once on my blog, and I think you can find it if you go to the blog and search for street, S-H-T-R-E-E-T. There are even people who say strategy.
Yes, and, it's going to fancy words now.
Yes, and it has sneaked into the middle of words, too, instructional, which is hard to even say.
But, yes.
Yeah, I don't know why it's happened, but
well,
it's...
Well, I hope we don't start seeing it in dictionaries.
I don't think it'll show up right away.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
A listener from the Bowery writes, in college acting class, we were taught that the different pronunciations were the difference between general American and standard American speech. Do you ever make such distinctions?
I didn't know there was a difference between general American and standard American. I don't know what that would be. For the most part, general American is standard American speech. There's standard, and then there are other things. There are regional pronunciations. There are substandard, which would be like the insertion of a sound that's not really there.
Like, stop.
I suppose. But I don't. I've never heard that that differentiation made between general and standard.
Well, we've talked in the past about differences in pronunciation, words like mm-hmm. orange, orange, foreign, mm-hmm. foreign, mm-hmm. Nevada, mm-hmm. Nevada.
Right.
And we go on and on and on.
Yeah.
And I don't know which one is standard. Is it orange or is it orange?
Orange. I would think orange, and that orange would be
just an eastern thing.
An eastern, but you know, maybe now it's. Let me just check on that one, because I never heard orange until I'm moved out east. See, I think I'm out east, but a lot of people think that I came from back west. But I don't think of Iowa as the west. Wait a minute, orange.
I think of Iowa as the middle Midwest.
It's the Midwest.
No? That's the reason you smile so much, Pat.
It's God's country, in fact. Orange. Here it is. Orange. Orange. Wait, what are those little... What's it when they have a little hat over the O? Ah. Oh, orange. They do have the pronunciation orange. It's not orange. They have orange, like the O in pot. So orange or orange. It's in the dictionary now.
We can do either.
We can't call it regionalism anymore.
Nancy in Brooklyn writes, Hope Solo, the marvelous goalkeeper for the U.S. women's national soccer team, inspired a discussion among a few of my friends about the origin of the term girl crush and whether it's even possible to have a girl crush in any language but English. For example, there seems to be no comparable expression available in French or Spanish. Mm. Is that a sign of greater social progress in the English-speaking world?
Well, my immediate reaction is to say yes, of course.
But there are phrases that are that the Germans give us that we wish we could have invented
yes.
in English.
But, Schadenfreude.
Yeah. Weltanschauung.
Yes. Bildungsroman. but I don't know if in those other languages they have expressions that mean the same thing as girl crush. It sounds as if the listener says that she checked it out and they don't have such expressions. I don't know. I think it's rather sweet myself. I came across that earlier this week in something I was reading, that young women will have their boy crushes and their girl crushes before they reach womanhood.
I was okay, go ahead, finish.
But maybe the kind of girl crush she's talking about is a crush one woman has on another. I don't know what.
Yeah, you have a crush on somebody who's a star athlete in this case.
Right.
I don't know whether
it might be hero worship rather than a sexual thing.
Whether being a fan of Derek Jeter is having a boy crush or whether it's simply saying, my favorite. Not mine, by the way, but that's a whole other matter. Another thing that we've seen among radio announcers is the tendency in recent years to pronounce Spanish words correctly, but not others.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll have
mm-hmm.
people saying Guatemala, but you don't have them saying Deutschland or
France. Right, you'll see they'll say Puerto Rico.
Yeah, but not España.
They won't say, Milano. They mm-hmm. say Milan.
Right. Roma.
Or Florence. Italia. They don't say Firenze.
So why do you think that is?
I don't know. Why do you think it is?
Well, first of all, I wonder why the British screwed up all of those pronunciations. What would have been so terrible about calling Florence Firenze?
Yeah, true. True. I don't know. I like Florence, though. Don't you?
Well, she was nice. But then she ran off with Sydney and the whole thing.
She speaks well of you. I don't know the answer to that. It may be because we're closer to Spanish culture than we are to, through our Latin American friends, our Mexican friends, our Puerto Rican friends. Maybe we have more of an affinity for Spanish culture. And so we have a large Spanish-speaking population that's probably influencing us, too. That may have something to do with it.
Let's take another call. Natalie from Westchester. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
We're well. And
good,
too.
Good. Wonderful. I heard you guys talking earlier. Heard the two of you talking earlier.
Yeah, I'd like to. I want to talk about that you guys later, but go ahead.
Go ahead.
It's a horrible habit. With a caller regarding he and she, as well as him and her. Mm-hmm. Now, I teach special education to third graders who have language difficulties and learning disabilities, and I have a trick for who and whom that mm-hmm. you might be able to reverse.
Mm-hmm.
So you know whether or not to use who or whom, because if you answer he or she, you have to ask the question with a who. And if you answer him or her, you have to ask the question with a whom. And mm-hmm. I'm wondering if you could reverse that in order to correctly use he, she, him, and her.
Yes, you could. But but it's the problem is a lot of people would have much more trouble with who and whom than they would with he or him. Or
so
she
maybe
or her.
I should start to teach it the opposite way.
Like no, I think the
teach
way
it through him and her instead of
yes.
through whom and who.
Yes.
Ah.
Yes.
Okay. I like that.
In fact, if you just use he and him, an easy mm-hmm. way is that he and who both end with a vowel.
Exactly.
And whom and him both end with M.
Mm. Exactly, or it ends with a consonant, which is uh-huh. how I introduced the she and the her.
Right.
It's the vowels and the consonant endings, and that's the
right.
little trick.
Right, that's a good idea.
Awesome. Well, thank you so
now,
much.
Now, I want to talk about
you guys. About
you guys,
yeah.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Now,
here,
I don't think she should apologize.
Natalie, you're at a restaurant, and the waitress comes over and says, how are you guys doing? That's okay
yeah.
with you? Why does it bother me? I mean, it doesn't bother me enough to.
I'm a waitress and I teach language, so I've actually thought about this before. And I feel like you guys has taken on like a them or an us.
It's
kind of an ungendered term, like
gender neutral. Yes, exactly.
Or in French, it would be like a vous for everybody there, like all of us,
yes.
maybe y'all down south.
Yes.
And it's kind of this ungendered group term.
Yeah.
It's not very pretty, and it probably shouldn't have developed, but it did.
Well, you know, I don't find it odd at all to refer to a group of my girlfriends, for example, as you guys.
Right.
I may
exactly.
say, come on, guys, let's do this. But I would uh-huh. never address
guys
one
is
of
a male
them.
Thing, isn't it?
Well, I would never address one of them as hi, guy.
Yeah, no.
But guys, the plural somehow, it seems more neutral. And I've talked about this on the blog, too, or Stuart and I have on our blog. And there's been some scholarship even done about this, that guys, the plural, has become a gender-neutral group sort of word.
Thank you for calling us, Natalie.
Thank you so much.
And that bothers a lot of older people. Doesn't bother younger people so much.
Now, you mentioned the blog, so I should clue listeners in on that. You can email Pat with a question at this is the email address, mailbox
right.
at grammarphobia.com. Her blog is grammarphobia.com, and there you will find a selection of language questions, many of them from New York, from WMYC listeners. And we go now to Judy. Hi, Judy.
Hi. I want to go back to him and I, but from a different direction. I hear people say he and myself, mm-hmm. something and myself, and it seems to be a cop-out that they use rather than making the decision of whether to say he and I or he, him and me.
Right. It's sort of the fallback choice for people who can't decide between me and I. And it is sort of a cop-out. You're right.
Can you stop it?
No, I can't stop it. I couldn't, you know, there's no way I could. I can't. I have very little power. People say, can't you do something about this? I say, no, I'm sorry, I really can't. But I can just point out what the traditional feeling has been, and that is that myself and the other self words should be reflexive pronouns. They should refer back to a subject already named, or be used for emphasis, as in I made it myself.
Well, there was an old song in the 30s, Me, Myself, and I. We all agree. That's okay, right?
Well, song lyrics are exempt from all the rules.
but you would not say that otherwise. Me, Myself, and I.
Well,
we all agree.
No, I mean, but what kind of song would you have if you just said I? Not enough syllables.
Pat O'Connor will be back with us on August 10th, and we'll be taking more of your calls. I'm sorry we couldn't get to all the calls today. But if you want to ask Pat a question, you can email her directly at mailbox@grammarphobia.com. And you can also click on Pat's blog at grammarphobia.com to see a selection of language questions from WNYC listeners. And, Pat, it's always a lot of fun talking about language. And forgive me, I will continue to say news and to
few. If you can live with it, I can.
On tomorrow's show, Anthony Summers and Robin Swan describe what previously classified records and transcripts tell us about the circumstances of 9/11 and the aftermath of the terrorist attacks. And then our Summer Stuff series continues with Savura editor-in-chief James Oslin and a look at picnic foods that taste good and can survive the heat. Also, Chris Adrian discusses his latest novel, The Great Night, plus on Backstory with the European Council set to meet to discuss the European debt crisis. We'll look at the problems in the Eurozone and underreported, find out why red tape is preventing the U.S. from sending food aid to famine-afflicted Somalia. The Leonard Lopate Show is produced by Blakeney Schick, Stephen Valentino, and Julia Corcoran. Melissa Egan is the executive producer. We had help today from Rachel Hartman, Kevin Sun, and contributing producer Angela Sheldon. Debbie Fountain was at the audio controls. I'm Leonard Lopate, your host. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.